gap there between your singing and then me coming up here. I just want to say that was beautiful. I don't get to hear hymns much from my tradition and choirs, and that was just beautiful. I got these shivers going down my spine, so thank you for singing choir. My wife, she wishes she was here, but my son is home for the weekend. He's been working up north all summer, and we're going to basically be empty nesters at the end of July. So my wife has been crying a little bit. And I've been in the back of my head, not out loud, but in the back of my head, I've been quoting Dr. King by saying, "Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty! I'm free at last." But I gotta look sad, you know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta kinda, oh, you know, yeah, it's a horrible thing, Jude. It's terrible. But she'll get over it, and we'll have some good times. I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna get into the Word together. Lord, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much for your love. And thank you so much that we have a chance to come here on Sundays and just worship you and bask in your glory and bask in your love. And thank you for this community that cares for one another, because we are the body of Christ and we need one another. So, Lord, I just want to give you so much praise and thanks for all the wonderful things you're doing. And I pray this in your name. Amen. About 30 years ago, I started ministry, and the Lord put me into government housing neighborhoods in Scarborough. Low-income housing projects, and it was funny because when I was young, I thought I was going to bring God into the neighborhoods, you know. I thought, God's not there, so here comes Colin, and Colin's going to bring God where God isn't. And I found out something, that God already beat me to the punch. And he was already there, working in the lives of people. It's kind of like I just walked into his presence, and he was already busy, which is a beautiful thing, because I believe that every person I look at, I know God's working in their hearts. Everybody, from the chief of sinners, like Paul, who God changed, to the so-called non-chief of sinners, God is at work in everybody's heart. He was already there. And it shouldn't surprise me, because in our government housing neighborhoods, there's a lot of single moms with a lot of kids that are raised by these heroes, these single mothers. And my Bible tells me that God is a father to the fatherless. He's already there. And he's our father as well. And so what I want to talk about this morning is, will we let this God, this wonderful Father, will we let him father us? Will we let him father us? In my history in working in government housing projects, I've seen a lot of injustice. I remember just a few years ago, one of the mothers called me up, and she was frantic and she was crying. And so we went into the neighborhood, and she had a bruise on her face, and her son had a black eye. And I said, "What happened?" And she said, "Well, the police came and they kicked in my door, and they're looking for drugs, and they grabbed me and put me against the wall. My son was freaking out, and he was 15 at the time. They threw him against the wall. They called me all sorts of names. They ransacked the house, and the house was a mess. They didn't find any drugs." And I was so angry about this, because this wouldn't happen in other neighborhoods, but it happened in our neighborhoods. I was so upset with the injustice of this. I was so mad. And then I just felt God's voice saying, but Colin, what happened here is terrible. It is wrong. But I want to father these police officers too. Colin, you have such a heart for the down and outs, but I want to, I mean, these police officers need me as well as their father. These police officers that were so power hungry, that they couldn't look at other people's lives as valuable, that they did these things. Colin, and I felt weird, but I felt the Spirit saying that they were, these police officers were being fathered by power. And it made me think, like, what is fathering me? What is fathering you? Do we let God father us, shape us, guide us, or do we let other things father us, shape us, and guide us and lead us? Do we let money be our father that guides and leads us? Do we let prestige be our God or our father that guides and leads us? What shapes us? Is it God the Father, or is it other things? And I was really convicted. It's kind of funny, because when you're involved in social justice issues and you see injustice, I hope this happens to you, but you begin to see the sin in your own life. And the things that you battle, it's like, I don't know, I'm going to quote this saying all wrong, but you go into battle to fight the dragon and you find the dragon is you. And I begin to realize that I've got these issues too. So what are we letting father us? So what I want to do is I want to talk about this wonderful God, our Father, so that you will desire for him to father us. And Moses read that wonderful parable, the parable of the prodigal son. And there's a few things about that story that I love. The first thing is simply this. is that we have a God who is our Father. I was at Tim Hortons last night, till all hours of the night, talking to my son. He's 21, he'll be 22 soon. I'm still fathering this kid. And it was funny because we hit it off really well at Tim Hortons, having our coffee. It was like a Tim Hortons commercial. It was beautiful. And then we got serious, and then I challenged him, and he goes, oh, no, here it comes. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, I knew why you wanted to take me up to Tim Hortons. And I said, will you let me father you? Because CJ, I love you. Any words I give to you, any time I spend with you, it's done because I love you. And that's just a little bit. I mean, I'm just a human father. I'm not perfect. But God, our Father, is crazy about us. Look at the story of the prodigal son. Here's a father who's crazy about his son. Even though his son takes the money, takes the inheritance, basically the son is saying to the father, I wish you were dead. So give me the inheritance. It never happened in those days. The only time you would get an inheritance is with when your father died. So this son is being selfish. He's saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me the money. I want to get out of here. The father gives him the money. The son squanders it in crazy living. But the father is still crazy in love with the son. We have a heavenly father that's in crazy in love with us, sons and daughters of his. He's crazy in love with us. One of the amazing things about Christianity, it's the only religion where God is seen as a father God whose arms are open wide. All the other religions in the world, God is like this. Arms are crossed, big frown on his face. And he's looking down at us. And he's saying, you better smarten up. Oh, I see you doing something wrong there. Gotcha. Oh, I see you doing something wrong there. All the religions of the world say, you've got to do this and do that and do this in order to be accepted and pleased by God. Christianity says, I already am crazy about you. The religions of the world are like this. Christianity's like this. He's a father whose arms are wide open. He's a father that does not say you have to jump through all these hoops. He's a father that will take us to Tim Hortons no matter what and spend time with us. Isn't that amazing? We have a God, the Father, who's crazy about us. When I'm talking about my son here, but I remember when he was just a little kid, and you guys know what this is like when you had your kids and they're in diapers. And we are one of the first of our crew who had kids. And so we'd have them all over, these young couples who are childless at the point, or singles, and they're all at our house one day, and we're having a barbecue. My kid's about 8 years old, and he's in the middle, and I'm so proud of him because he's my boy. He can do anything. He gurgles. I'm like, did you hear that? He said something. He just gurgled. He belched. No, he didn't. He said something. He's brilliant. He'd scribble something on paper. I'd put it in my office. There it is, a masterpiece, you know? We had all these guys over our house. My son's there in the middle. It's hot day. He's just got his diaper on, and he's sort of just sitting there. And all of a sudden, this horrible noise comes out of his diaper. You know what that's like. And I don't know what he ate that day or what it was, but it was unbelievable. It was like, I can't explain it, but you can picture it. This is probably the first time a story like this has ever been said in this church at this pulpit. It was a super duper pooper. That's all I can say. I mean, it was unbelievable. It came out. Everybody was like, oh, they're holding their nose. They were all running to get outdoors. Everybody was running away from my kid except for me. They were running away. I was running towards them. I put him up in my hands. Stuff is dripping down onto me. I put him in my arms, and I start singing to him. This is how weird the father's love is to the son or the daughter. I started singing to him, CJ has a super duper pooper. And I'm singing this ridiculous song. I took him up. I changed his diapers. I got stuff all over me. I changed him. I cleaned him up. And that's what God does for us. We mess up in our drawers. We make mistakes. We sin. We screw up. I'm the chief of that. And God doesn't run away from us. Others may run away from us, but God runs to us. And he picks us up in his arms. And he cleans us up from whatever messes we've made. He's a God that doesn't run away. He's a God that runs to us. His arms are open wide. I love the word Jesus used to describe God. He uses the word Father, but in his language, it was the word Abba. Abba. An interesting way to use, I mean, the King James says father. When my kids were younger, when I came home from work, they'd run to the door and they'd go, Daddy, Daddy. That's what Abba means. It doesn't mean father. It means daddy. It was an affectionate term used by children towards their daddies. And Jesus says, you want to know what God the Father is like? He's not the God the Father of the King James Version. He's Daddy. And my daddy will change my diaper with his arms wide open. What a story. The second thing is, this is why I just love spending time with my daddy, Father God, is his love is different than ours. His love is, those sons, the only way they really kind of loved the father was because it was a conditional love. They loved him because they could get something from him, the inheritance. The other son that didn't ask for the inheritance got really mad because, hey, how come he gets that? He gets a party and I get nothing. The sons were working for the father or doing stuff for the father or showing love to the father because they could get stuff from the father. It's like my daughter, when she first got her license, it was like, hey, Dad, I love you. She'd run, give me the hug and a little smile. I love you. I go, okay. Can I have the keys for the car? There's a conditional love going on here. See, our human love is conditional. We love people because we can get something from them. But the Father's love is so different. His love isn't conditional. It's unconditional. Those kids can't give anything to the Father. They don't have the car, the father has the car. They don't have the farm, the father has the farm. They don't have the fatted calves, the father has the fatted calves. They don't have the servants, the father has the servants. The father has it all, they have nothing. So what can he get from them? Some headaches, some stress outs. But he still loves them anyway. A friend of mine, when he was young, he was going up the stairs to pray. He was 8 years old. He's going to bed, actually, and he always prayed it when he went to bed. He was 8 years old. He's going up the stairs, and he says to his family who are downstairs watching TV, he says, I'm going upstairs, I'm going to bed, I'm going to pray. Does anybody want anything? Does that describe our prayer lives, you know? We love God because we can get stuff from him. The Father loves those sons no matter what. They can't give him anything, but he still loves them. The third thing about the Father in this story, it's great, is his love is extravagant. It's out of control. It's crazy love. It's extravagant. The son comes back to the father. He comes up with a line, an excuse, an apology. Remember in the story there, he says to him, well, I'm eating with these pigs. I've lost all. I've blown all the money. I'm eating with the pigs, which is very bad for a Jewish person. I'm eating and sleeping with the pigs. And he goes, oh, if I come back to my father, maybe he'll take me on as a servant. At least the servants are fed. Maybe he'll take me on as a servant. He says, so then I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, oh, Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth. I've sinned against you. Will you take me back? He comes up with this line, right? He rehearses it in the pig pen, and then he goes off to see the Father. And it says when he was still a far way off, the Father comes to him, running to him with his hands wide open. Son's walking towards the Father, poopy diaper. Father sees him from a distance, runs to him. The son begins to do the big excuse, Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth. The father doesn't even listen to his excuse. Isn't it great? You know what the father says? Jack! Now, first of all, the father comes running to him, gives him a big hug. You big lug, I've missed you. Father, I've sinned against... Jack! Wait a second, Jack, I got to kiss my boy. And the son's just blown away, but he says, Father, I've sinned against... What are you saying, son? I don't hear you, son. Wait a second, son. Hey, Jack, go get my boy a robe. And they get him a robe. And you know what that robe was? Whenever you had a party in Jesus' day and you had a party, the most important person would wear a robe. You'd give them a robe. They were the VIP. The father is making the prodigal son who blew all the money, probably shamed the family name. He gives him a robe, a VIP treatment. Jack, go get him a ring. Jack comes with a ring, puts it on his finger. The family's insignia is in that ring. He's not a servant. He's my boy. He's my son. He's my kid. Hey, let's get the fattened calf. And the thing is, you notice it wasn't just a calf. It was a fattened calf. I believe that when the boy went away, when the son went away, the father got a calf and said, start feeding that sucker. And the servants are probably going, why? He goes, you'll see. Because one day my boy's coming home. And when he comes home, we got to get ready. And he kept feeding that thing. It was getting huge. Getting ready for the boy to come back home. Get the fattened calf. Get sandals for his feet. Why sandals? Because slaves didn't wear sandals. Why didn't they wear sandals? Because if they had sandals, they could run away. So he gets the boy sandals because he's my boy. He's my son. Isn't that incredible? It's an extravagant love. It's not like the father saying, okay, you want to come back to the family? Let me think about it, boy. You want to come back to home after what you've done? Go back out there for 2 more weeks and then maybe I'll accept. He's not like that at all. He doesn't even listen to the excuses. He throws a party. Man, I'm glad my Father God's like that. I want to submit to this Father God. I want to surrender to this God who has extravagant love. My mentor, Tony Campolo, tells a great story. He was in Hawaii, and there's a big time change, as you know, when you go to Hawaii, and he was speaking at a conference in Hawaii, and he couldn't sleep at night because of the time change. So he went to this local corner coffee shop, just a greasy spoon. The cook's name was Harry. You can't get any greasier than that. He goes in there for a coffee, walks in around 2:30 in the morning, and at 3 in the morning, he says, these three prostitutes walk in. One's named Agnes, and they're talking and they're laughing it up. And the next morning, Tony is 2:30 in the morning, gets his coffee, sitting there at 3 o'clock. The prostitutes come in, the same three. The third day, Tony's there, the prostitutes come in again. But this time they're talking to Agnes and they're saying, hey, Agnes, I hear it's your birthday tomorrow. And Agnes is like, yeah, it's my birthday tomorrow. Agnes, how old are you going to be? Agnes is like, I'm going to be 40. Can you believe it? I'm going to be 40 years old. They're like, Agnes, that's old for what we do. I mean, Agnes, you're going to lose customers. Ha, 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 ha. We're going to take all your customers. Ha, ha. And they start, you know, laughing and joking. And they talk and talk and they leave. And Tony gets a great idea. He goes up to the cook. He says, Harry. He goes, Agnes, I've noticed they keep coming in here every night. Oh, yeah, Tony, those guys there, they're always coming in here. They're wonderful girls. I know they're in a bit of a mess, but they're wonderful girls. Tony goes, Agnes said it was her birthday. Tomorrow. Harry goes, yeah, how about that? Good old Agnes. Turning 40. Tony goes, I got an idea. Let's throw her a party. Let's put a surprise birthday party for Agnes. Harry looks at Tony and goes, that's a great idea. Tony says, I'm going to get banners. I'm going to get balloons. I'm going to decorate this place up. I'll buy a cake. And Harry goes, no, sir, you're not buying her a cake. I'm going to bake her a cake. And they begin to get this party ready to go for Agnes, the prostitute. Next morning, Tony comes in early, sets up all the balloons, the ribbons, everything. Harry's there with his wife. His wife shows up. She's like, I got to see this. Sure enough, 3 o'clock on the clock, in walks the prostitutes. And there's Agnes. And they all yell, happy birthday, Agnes. Harry's like, yeah, happy birthday, Tony, his wife. Agnes is just stunned. She's in the doorway. She just stares like, what? She sees the signs, the balloons. They're like, come on, Agnes, here's a knife, cut the cake. Agnes is staring at the cake. She has a hard time cutting it. Come on, Agnes, come on, we're hungry. We want a slice, cut the cake. And Agnes looks at them and she says, I can't. And they're like, why not, Agnes? She goes, because I've never had a birthday party in my life. Can I just bring the cake home so I can look at it for a few days? And they're all like, okay, Agnes, sure, yeah. Anyway, happy birthday. And they sing and they dance and they have a great time. And then they leave. And Agnes has this cake. And Harry looks at Tony. And he says, who are you? Who are you? Tony says, I'm a preacher. Harry says, what church do you belong to? Tony says, I belong to the church that throws parties for prostitutes at 3 in the morning. Harry says, I'd go to that church. That's the church we belong to. Who's Jesus always hanging out with in the Gospels? The sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes. In fact, just in the same chapter, the reason why Jesus is telling this story is because the religious hotshots in Luke 15, verse 1, are upset with him because it says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus. And they muttered to themselves, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Amen. That means he welcomes me and he eats with me. To eat with somebody in that day is a sign of friendship, that you are an equal to me. That's the Father's love, that he throws parties for prostitutes at 3 in the morning. Isn't that amazing? But the final point is this. I need to be sensitive to the time. I'm used to preaching for 50 minutes, so this is hard for me. I mean, you should see my notes. I'm not even following them. They're just gone. I mean, I'm just doing my best here. The final thing is this. His love never gives up. His love never gives up. He'll never give up on you. He'll never give up on your kids. He'll never give up on family members. His love never gives up. It says that while the son was from a distance, the father saw him. What does that tell you? It tells me that the father was always walking by his bay window like this. You know, there's a bay window. He'd be walking by like this and he'd be going like, maybe today my boy's coming home. And then he'd walk by again and be like, oh, maybe today. Oh, there's some dust on the roadway. He'd look out, pull out his binoculars. It's a milkman. Darn it. Go back next day, always looking out the window. Dust, yeah, postman. Oh, darn it. But one day the dust is there. He puts the binoculars. He sees his son. And because his love never gives up, because he's always looking for that boy, he runs to the son. And I believe the father is here today with his arms wide open. And he's running to us. The question is, will we run into his arms? I mean, we can run to him, because I've done this when my kids were younger and they were mad at me. I go, come on. And they're like, no. Come on, no. Right? They have to receive the Father's love. Will you receive the Father's love? I don't know your history. I don't know what you're going through now. You may think you're this horrible, awful sinner. Guess what? So am I. But he loves us. It's an extravagant, crazy love. He's crazy about us. And the best thing the boy ever did was he went back to the Father and accepted his love. Here's the deal. Christianity isn't about doing all sorts of things to make God happy. He's already crazy in love with you. He's beyond happy. He's in love. You don't have to do this, and you don't have to do that, and you don't have to do all these. He's already in love and crazy in love with you. Will you just accept his love? And when you accept his love, your life begins to become transformed as the Father's love just fills you up and fills you up, and you become a loving person yourself through his love. Will you? I know it's hard for us to understand as humans. It still is for me. I'm still trying to figure it out. But will you accept his love? Just accept it and just bask in it and just have a smile on your face and say, oh, he loves me. And he loves everybody else. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love. Some of us here today have not been raised by fathers. Maybe we've been raised by single moms, and we thank you so much for those mothers, those heroes that have done so much. And some of us may have had a bad relationship with our fathers, and so our view of you is kind of tainted. But Lord, help to show us that through this parable, because obviously we can't figure out this incredible love for you have for us, so Jesus had to tell us a story to get us to understand it. If we've been harmed by our earthly fathers, Lord, help us to see that you are a heavenly Father. Your fatherly love is so different. And I pray, Lord, that this week, that this day, that this minute, that this second, we can bask and live in your love and allow you to change us and shape us and allow you to father us, because you father us not in anger. You father us in love. And we pray this in your name. Amen.